Carl Jung discovered the shadow, that hidden part of your personality that's running your life even without your permission. Every time you force a smile when you're angry, you're feeding this psychological entity. And right now, your shadow might be the exact reason you constantly self-sabotage your biggest goals. Let's say you're sitting across from someone who just took credit for your idea in a meeting. Your chest tight, your face flushes, and you smile and say, "That's great, thanks for building that." But later that night, you can't sleep. You replay it in your head 17 times, and by morning, you've convinced yourself that you are the problem. Maybe you weren't clear enough. Maybe you're being too petty. So you do what you've been trained to do since childhood. You push it down. You swallow it. You be nice. You become the bigger person. You are evolved. Are you?
Your Success DNA Podcast. Your success is in your DNA.
What is up? What is up? What the hell is up, my fellow success seekers? Here's what no one tells you. That rot that you feel festering in your chest that we were just talking about, that's not weakness. That's not a lack of spiritual enlightenment. That, my friends, is data. It's information. It's a signal that someone just violated your boundary, and your only response was to smile and apologize internally for having those boundaries at all. Yeah, the personal development industry has sold you this dangerous lie, and you've bought it. Completely. Well, maybe you haven't because you're here listening to this show. They've told you that confidence comes from positivity, that resilience comes from gratitude, that real growth happens when you transcend your anger and operate from a place of pure light and acceptance. Self-help gurus have built empires on the promise that if you just think better thoughts, if you just radiate that amazingly good energy, if you're just kind enough to everyone, the universe will reward you. But that's not how humans work. That's not how power actually works. And the gap between what you've been told and what's actually true is exactly where your stagnation lives. There's a psychological concept I alluded to in the opening called the shadow self. Carl Jung defined it as a part of your personality that contains everything that you're unwilling to acknowledge about yourself, your anger, your competitiveness, your desire to dominate, your capacity to hurt, your selfishness, your ambition doesn't care about anyone else's comfort. Jung developed this idea within the framework of analytical psychology, his school of depth psychology, which held that what you refuse to face consciously will control you unconsciously. For decades, the self-help community has told you to integrate this shadow by transcending it. Dissolve it through meditation, transmute it through compassion, just love it away. Yeah, yeah, some of you are giggling with me. But here's what actually happens when you do that. You don't integrate it. You bury it. You create a false self, a nice self, a positive self, an acceptable self, what Jung called the persona, the mask that you wear for society. But when the persona dominates, the shadow grows stronger. The shadow knows, yeah. The actual self roots underneath, leaking poison into every relationship, every project, and every single decision that you make. You've probably noticed this in yourself without even giving it a name. You're the person who says yes to like everything, but resents everyone. You're the person who helps constantly, but you still feel invisible. Yeah. You're the person who bends over backwards for people who would never even bend a little bit for you. Psychologists call this people pleasing, sometimes even calling it fawning. It's destroying your confidence from the inside out. You're exhausted. You feel like a fraud, and you blame yourself for not being enlightened enough. But the real problem isn't that you're not spiritual enough. The real problem is that you have been trained to be nice instead of being trained to be dangerous, and there's a massive difference. But let me be specific about that word dangerous and what dangerous actually means in the context of what I'm trying to tell you, because this isn't about becoming cruel or becoming thoughtless. Dangerous means willing. Here's what I mean. Willing to disappoint people. Willing to say no without a lengthy explanation. Willing to take up space without apologizing for your size, willing to pursue what you want, even if someone has to lose something in that process. A dangerous person doesn't require your approval to exist. A dangerous person doesn't need you to agree with their choices. A dangerous person is willing to be disliked. And paradoxically, that's exactly when people begin to respect you. What? Yeah. Think about the most confident people you know, the ones who seem unbothered, who just move through the world like they belong there or like it belongs to them, whose opinions actually carry weight. Watch them closely. They're not always the nicest people. They're not the ones apologizing constantly or seeking reassurance or modulating their voice to make others feel comfortable. No. You know what I'm talking about. Think about that person in your head right now. They are the ones who can say something uncomfortable and not die from the social discomfort that it could bring many others. They're the ones who will end a relationship if it doesn't serve them, if it's just sucking them dry. They're the ones who will pursue an opportunity, even if it means someone else doesn't get it, right? Yeah, they have access to their shadow and they manage it deliberately because that's where their confidence lives. Let me tell you the mechanism. When you chronically suppress your anger, your disappointment, your competitiveness, your selfishness, what researchers call emotional suppression, you fracture your internal sense of coherence. Part of you knows what you actually want. Part of you knows where your real boundaries are. Part of you knows you just swallowed a vibration and you just smiled about it. But your conscious identity is built on being nice. So there's a permanent internal conflict going on. And you, my friend, are always monitoring yourself. You're always second guessing. You're always waiting for someone else to validate that you are okay. That state, that constant internal surveillance and self-doubt, that's not humanity. That's not evolution. It's cognitive dissonance. And let's be honest, it's freaking exhausting. Yeah. The moment you stop requiring yourself to be nice, something shifts. Not because you became mean, but because you stop the energy leak. You're no longer dividing yourself into the acceptable self and the real self. You've become coherent. You've become whole. And other people will feel that. They might not like it. Some people definitely won't like it, but they will respect it. They'll know where you stand. And most importantly, you'll know where you stand with yourself. Let me give you a concrete example of how this works. Let's say you're an ambitious professional. Many of you listening are. And you have a manager who doesn't value your work or your time. She always seems to assign you projects right close to the deadline. And then she turns around and rewrites your work without even asking. She makes decisions that affect you without including you in that decision-making process. But you're nice about it. So you don't say anything directly. Instead, you work harder. You stay later. You try to anticipate her needs. You try to prove yourself. You try being good. You try being professional. And after 6 months, you've still got the same disrespect. Plus, now you're exhausted and you've normalized being treated this way. Now, let's hear what a dangerous person does and how they do it differently. First off, they're going to acknowledge the anger. They don't suppress it or try to visualize or spiritualize it away. They let themselves feel how much it sucks to be disrespected. Then they act from that clarity, not from niceness. Maybe they have a direct conversation. Say something like, I notice you're rewriting my work without asking me why I made those choices in the first place. That really doesn't work for me. Going forward, I really would like you to tell me what you want changed, and I'll explain my reasoning before you edit it. Reasonable enough, fair enough. That's assertiveness. That's not aggression, certainly not cruelty. It's a trained skill. And my friends, it is available to you the moment you stop treating your anger as a character flaw. Maybe you document your work meticulously so that you have evidence if you feel you need to go to HR. Maybe you start interviewing for other jobs because you realize this person has shown you who they are and you're just not going to stop waiting for different treatment. Maybe you reduce your effort to match the level of disrespect you're receiving. Notice, none of this is cruel. None of this is unethical. And it's all just wrapped around no longer being self-sacrificial. It's no longer built on hoping someone else will eventually appreciate you. It's built on the willingness to be uncomfortable, to disappoint someone, to be disliked rather than just be hollow. And here's what's remarkable when you do this. Your confidence doesn't come from some external validation anymore. No, it comes from the fact that you are no longer betraying yourself. And this is where toxic positivity does the most damage. It tells you that your anger is a sign that you are stuck in victimhood. It tells you that resentment is just unprocessed forgiveness. It tells you that boundaries are limits on your consciousness. And so you keep trying to love your way out of situations that require you to fight your way out. You keep trying to be patient with people who are actively disrespecting you. You keep postponing your own goals because someone might feel bad if you don't prioritize them. Yeah. And the longer you do this, the smaller you become. The gap between who you want to be and who you actually are just gets wider. You internalize the message that something's wrong with you for wanting more. But here's the part that usually triggers people. Your darkness isn't the problem. No, I'm sorry, it's not. It's actually the solution. Your anger isn't something to transcend. It's data. It's information. It's telling you where your values are. It's telling you where you are compromising. It's telling you where you need to draw a damn line. Your competitiveness isn't something you need to overcome. It's the engine that drives you to improve, that drives you to win, and drives you to create something better than what already exists. Your selfishness is not corruption, it's self-preservation. It's the part of you that knows you can't pour from an empty cup. So it makes sure that you fill your cup first. Researcher Christian Neff, who built the modern framework for self-compassion, argues something very similar, that genuine self-care is not selfishness, it's the foundation for sustained strength. When you reject all of that, when you consciously decide to be nice instead, you, my friend, are not evolving. You are just lobotomizing yourself. And I think that's exactly what Jung meant when he wrote about individuation, which is the process of becoming psychologically whole by integrating your darkness rather than pretending it doesn't even exist. Integration of the shadow doesn't mean becoming a better, kinder person. It means becoming a whole person, a person who can be kind and still say no. A person who can be generous and still keep score of whether it's reciprocal. A person who can love someone and still refuse to let that person hurt you. A person who can want good things for people and still want better things for themselves. That, my friends, is not cruelty. That's maturity. That's the actual definition of self-respect. And here's what happens when you make this shift. You stop performing for an audience that really doesn't care. You stop explaining yourself endlessly, trying to justify your needs. You stop seeking permission from people who don't have authority over your life. And that's when things actually will start to change. Not because the universe rewards you for your enlightenment, but because people treat you the way you treat yourself. If you treat yourself with respect by being willing to disappoint others, people internalize that and they adjust their behavior accordingly. If you demand better, you often get it. If you're willing to leave, people suddenly get motivated to keep you. Let that one sink in for a second. The confidence that you've been searching for, you know, the kind that makes you feel solid and unshakable at home in your own skin, that does not come from positive affirmations or gratitude journals or just being a good person. It comes from the radical acceptance that you are not good. Nope, you are human. You have darkness. You have selfishness. You have a capacity for cruelty, and you've decided to manage those things deliberately, but not deny them. That's when you become dangerous, and that's when you really become powerful. The trap is that this philosophy sounds aggressive. It sounds like permission to hurt people. It sounds like the opposite of spiritual evolution. So people resist it. They think there's a middle path where you're nice, but also respected, where you say yes, but people also mysteriously know you wanted to say no, where you suppress your needs, but somehow your needs get met anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to pull any punches, as you well know. That middle path, it doesn't exist. You are either building your self-confidence on self-betrayal, or you're building it on self-respect. You are either managing your darkness consciously, or it is managing you from the unconscious. You are either dangerous or you're disappearing. The real question isn't whether you're a good person, because if you're still listening right now, you probably are. The real question is whether you're willing to be a complete person, whether you're willing to acknowledge that you want things, that you are competitive, that you'd rather be alone than wrong, that you can love someone and still get up and leave them, that you can hurt people and still live with yourself. Not because you're evil. No. Don't get me wrong here. But because sometimes growth has casualties. It just does. Sometimes becoming who you need to be means someone else doesn't get what they want from you. That is the trade. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner the real change can begin. Your darkness is not the enemy. Your refusal to own it is, however, the enemy. Okay? Now look, if what I just said kind of cracks something open inside of you, and if you felt that little sting of recognition, that is not an accident. That could be your shadow tapping you on the shoulder and saying, look, someone's finally telling you. Someone finally said it. That is exactly the kind of truth I dig into every week in the Unleash Your Success DNA, you know, just our newsletter for our aspiring goal seekers out there, those folks that want to level up, aspiring entrepreneurs, 9-to-5 escapees. It is not motivational fluff. It's mindset shifts. It's habit upgrades. And that, my usual dose of rebellion. I'm going to just say how I think it is. Built for people who are done performing nice and ready to build a business and a life aligned with who they actually are underneath the mask. So if you're tired of swallowing your own boundaries just to keep the peace, go subscribe at yoursuccessdna.com. It's where I say the stuff that doesn't always make it into the polite conversation here, but always makes it into your growth. Okay? Now, here's the whiskered wisdom I want you to carry out of this episode. Your niceness has an exchange rate, and you've been paying with pieces of yourself. There it is. All right. Your darkness is not the enemy. Your refusal to own it is the enemy. So here's the one action you should take. Not a repeat of anything I've given you in the past. Tonight, before you go to bed, I want you to think of one person in your life that you have been performing for, not lying to, performing for. Someone you smile at when you actually feel a twinge of resentment. I want you to write their name down. Please know this is just for your eyes. I want you to write down the sentence you've been too nice to say to them out loud. What is it you have been wanting to say but haven't? You don't need to send it. You don't have to say it tomorrow. You just have to stop pretending that you don't feel it or think it inside. That's where the integration starts. Not from some grand confrontation like you see in the movies, but in a private moment where you stop lying to yourself about your own anger. Okay? So here's the truth, my fellow success seekers. You were never supposed to be nice. You were supposed to be whole. And whole means that you need to keep your kindness and you need to keep your teeth. All of them, right? That means your anger is not a malfunction. It's information. It means the version of you that disappoints people is not broken. That version might actually finally be the honest version. And if this one hit where it counts, this episode hit where it counts a little bit, don't just sit on it. Maybe even send it to someone that you know has been smiling through their own rot for a long time. Let them know they're allowed to stop doing that as well. So go be whole and go be dangerous. Think successfully and take action.
Thanks for listening to Your Success DNA podcast. Whether you're starting out or you're a seasoned entrepreneur, we have the tools and inspiration that you need to take your life to the next level. So stay tuned for more game-changing advice in our upcoming episodes. And hey, before you go, a quick reminder to check out our past episodes of Your Success DNA for more inspiring stories and practical advice. And if you've loved what you heard, leave us a review and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. Let's all level up our lives together, shall we? Remember, your success is in your DNA.